This is Tip TV Finance with me, Jenny Hammond, and Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications. Alan, no relation to Philip Green, I imagine.
Absolutely not, Jenny. I would like to point out to you at this point there is no relation to Philip Green whatsoever. But are you related to Philip Hammond, the Chancellor?
Uncle Phil, no, unfortunately.
No.
No, so he won't be on the show anytime soon, I imagine. So what's caught your eye this week? Obviously, we've got the OPEC meeting tomorrow. We had the non-OPEC members meeting on Monday, although we haven't heard that much about it. So what's catching your eye?
Well, I think it's Draghi's, Mario Draghi, of course, addressed the EU yesterday, European Parliament yesterday. And he's, again, it's all this rhetoric coming out of Europe at the moment about the fact that the UK has to shoulder the burden of Brexit.
Yeah.
We know that. You know, that's no secret. We're going to have to go it alone. But
probably doesn't help when people are walking into Number 10 with exposed notebooks as well, saying things about Brexit, does it?
Well, that's right. Exactly. I mean, we're hearing all sorts of different timetables. We're hearing all sorts of different possible strategies as we move towards Brexit. But at the end of it, Draghi, I think, has is being pressured by the European states, who, let's face it, they've seen how successful the UK has been since we executed Brexit in June. Mm. And I think a lot of states are now thinking that they might be better off as well. Mm. I have a theory, I've discussed this before on the programme, that I believe this could be a giant game of brinkmanship to force the EU to reform. And, of course, we've got Marine Le Pen now in France, looking set for, she's moved her offices into central Paris, just down the road from Hollande's residence. So she's basically flying the flag and letting him know that she's there. So I think across Europe there is unease, there's uncertainty, and we've got the situation in Italy too. There's going to be a lot of change in Europe, I think. The Western Spring, exactly, yeah. That's it. The EU will be forced to reform. So it's good for all of us.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on to the slides and see what we have today. So most popular in business and finance, Gurcan Feliga says pensioners have gained from ultra-low interest rates. Dr. Feliga, a British-Belgium economist, said the country as a whole is better off because low borrowing costs have boosted jobs, wages and profits, as well as value of shares and houses. That's according to the Daily Mail. What do you make of that?
Well, it's very true. Of course, the great thing is the UK is a finite territory, isn't it? We are an island, so every piece of real estate has a value, particularly in the south of England. And, pensioners are doing well. And, of course, the low interest rates have also encouraged investment through EIS and SEIS into small companies to help them get going, as well as small companies on the stock market as well. So I'm sure all of us in the markets would like to see greater activity. But even so, it's the environment is conducive to that.
And Samsung Elect considers structural split as investor pressure builds. South Korea's Samsung Electronics Co. Limited said on Tuesday it will increase dividends and consider splitting itself as the tech giant faces possibly the biggest structural change in its 47-year history. What do you think's behind this?
Well, I think we're seeing similar situations with other giant tech companies. I mean, Vodafone now, I think the company grows through acquisition, it acquires small tech companies, and eventually it's got this huge position, but then technology shifts, it moves off in a different direction, and perhaps Samsung has been left with a lot of redundant technology that it needs to hive off, or technology that could be better employed by other companies in the sector. So that's inevitable, and I think we're going to see this change not just with Samsung, but some other big players too, just as I mentioned with Vodafone.
Okay, so next slide. Economic calendar, so we look towards Germany and the Consumer Price Index and the United States. We've got the gross domestic product and consumer confidence. Anything else that you think should be up there, perhaps?
Well, I noted the consumer confidence number previously was marked at 98.6. It's forecast at over 100, which, of course, is positive.
Yeah.
And that, quite simply, in my view, reflects the Trump election. Now they know what they've got. Not necessarily a good thing, depending on your viewpoint, but the US now knows what it's got and they can plan around it. And I think there's a lot of support for Trump in that he's a businessman and they think he'll make canny, sound business decisions for the economy and for the rest of the world, hopefully, as well.
Yeah. Next slide. Okay, so speaking to a committee at the European Parliament yesterday, ECB's head Mario Draghi said a stalling economic recovery is currently the greatest risk facing the Eurozone. Would you say that's right, not perhaps all the political instability in the region?
Sounds something like rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic.
He also warned that the single market cannot go backwards. It's imperative that its integrity and homogeneity of rules and their enforcement will be preserved. Ahead of tomorrow's release of UK banking stress tests, Standard Chartered CEO Bill Winters announced a 10% headcount reduction in its global corporate and institutional banking departments, an aggressive cost-cutting exercise because, as he said himself, the bank's income and profit are unacceptable. Cuts will start this week. So how do you think the banking industry is going to respond to this?
Well, of course, Standard Chartered had the issue with the US SEC about 18 months ago. Through laundering, allegedly laundering terrorist funds. There are some issues with Standard Chartered. Of course, it has massive exposure to Asia and India and the emerging economies. And those economies are now uncertain. And I think what Standard Chartered is having to do is to reel everything in and just cut its costs down in light of an uncertain geopolitical picture worldwide.
Yeah, uncertainty is the new certain at the moment.
Most certainly.
Okay, so sentiment, what is catching your eye on this slide?
Well, again, we're seeing, and this is quite typical, again, uncertainty we related to just now. We're seeing clients, Oanda clients, long of silver and gold here. Clearly, in times of uncertainty, gold in particular and precious metals are a safe haven. They're, if it all blows up tomorrow, then at least you're holding something that's tangible, physical, and has a value. And that's the theory behind that. So it's quite typical of an uncertain geopolitical picture. Investors, I'm noting, are long cable. That's GBP USD, which is interesting given that Draghi is calling for a hard Brexit. It underlines the strength in our own economy, which I think is encouraging.
I think more people need to say that as well because,
The
fearmongers are out.
Well, the doomongers have been out since Brexit, but hey presto, GDP is strong, business confidence is strong, consumer price index is strong. Everything is in the UK is pointing to a sound economy, and sure, some of the manufacturers are having to readjust their strategy accordingly, but we're in a good position. Let's fly the flag.
Good. Anything else there before we move on? Nope. Let's see. So Marks and Spencers, now they've been struggling of late because a lot of their shops, they're closing down, and obviously their clothing hasn't been doing very well. But we're coming up to Christmas, the M&S food. We're all a fan.
Yeah, indeed. M&S and Tesco's, of course, are deglobalising. They are shutting down a lot of their international operations. And they face double threats, both from online retailers such as ASOS, although ASOS have struggled recently, Boohoo.com. So clothing can be bought at better prices and at the same quality as M&S.
And they're not really keeping up to date with styles as well. They have been criticised for being frumpy, if you listen to.
Having said that, a man of my age, I wear M&S, so I'm quite comfortable.
I think it's more the women's clothes, to be honest with you, they were saying.
Okay. But the other issue, of course, is, and this applies to M&S Food, which has really been its saviour against the clothing ranges. Amazon is now signalling that it's entering the market. It's done a deal with Morrisons to distribute food. And, I mean, we all buy Amazon presents at Christmas. The logistics behind the company are incredible. You order something that afternoon, bang, it's there tomorrow, and it's you don't like it, you send it back, bang, it comes. It's an incredible network. And when you apply that network to food, I think the retailers and I think companies like Ocado are really facing a crisis at the moment because you can't compete with Amazon.
But do you think people want that? Because don't people want to go and choose their own food? There's always going to be that people, especially when it comes to fresh produce, they want to choose, not have it just sent.
Yeah, but online food deliveries are growing. I mean, it's all of the supermarkets reporting every year report a huge increase in online sales. It's here to stay.
And I suppose convenience wins out in the end.
Convenience wins out in the end. Yeah, sure. It's nice to go out at Christmas, and there are exceptions where you times when you need to go to the supermarket. But I think you put Amazon against that, then even with the quality at the M&S food halls, you've got a potential issue.
Okay, so next slide.
Okay, this is now here's a company that is bucking the trend. This is a company that produces sausages and good old processed meat products. And has gone from strength to strength. It's a company called Cranswick. They reported interims this morning. The company, the shares are up 4%, strong first half, revenue's up 16%, adjusted pre-tax up 24%. Really strong set of numbers. They've made acquisitions, Crown Chicken and a sausage factory up in Northern Ireland. So there's a huge demand for their products. And of course, they're not really affected if everything goes online, because their products will get distributed by the supermarkets anyway. So it's not an issue for them. The company's grown rapidly. All of the brokers are very vocal in their support. You've got Investec with a buy rating and a £25 price target. Most of the other brokers' price targets are around a similar level. And you've got a dividend yield there of 2%. So what's not to like? And you see on the chart here, we've got the 50-day moving average at £22.93. Shares have broken above that today, so we could well be heading back to year highs over £25.
Good. Okay, so last slide, we're looking at Topps Tiles.
Okay, bottom right-hand corner. So this is a complete opposite, in a sense, to Cranswick. But I just wonder if the tide may have turned this morning. Topps have struggled with their wood flooring business, which they've now offloaded. And as you can see, it's just been a disastrous year for them in terms of share price performance. But today they announced full year numbers. Like-for-like sales up 4%, adjusted pre-tax are slightly higher. The dividend has been increased to 2.5p from 2.2p. So, and the company say they're well placed for the future. So this could be a turning round for the company. And also, if you're holding the shares or you're buying at this level, you're going to enjoy a 3%, 3.5% dividend yield too. So uncertain future, but the shares have gone pretty low. The company's come down. It's now worth 167 million market cap, as opposed to well over double that at the start of the year. So at some point, the value's got to chime in.
Alan, thank you. Coming up next, Proactive Investor Shares of the Day.